Tonight, several developing stories as we come on the air. The frightening scene here in New York City. Bystanders jumping in. Dramatic video. A New York City taxi barreling onto a curb with pedestrians losing control. About 20 bystanders could be seen trying to lift the taxi off of the women who were trapped. Several victims in critical condition. Also tonight, why have thousands of flights been canceled across this country? The travel nightmare for several days now. Relatives missing weddings, family trips. What's really driving this? Is it the weather or is it a shortage of pilots to fly these planes? Gio Benitez with the reality check tonight. The second heat wave now moving in from Texas up to Minnesota, then into the Midwest as it moves east. Temperatures topping 100 degrees. The warnings tonight, watch for highways buckling. Ginger Z tracking it all. The pandemic tonight for the first time. Children as young as 6 months old now receiving vaccinations. Where to get them depends on how old your child is. And for adults in this country, if you plan on getting just one booster, do you get one now or do you wait until we're closer to fall? To the war in Ukraine tonight and a key eastern city now on the brink of falling to the Russians. The one thing still in the hands of the Ukrainians. And James Longman tonight with the Ukrainian fighters armed with American long-range howitzers. And tonight what Russia is now saying about those two American veterans captured in Ukraine. Back here at home nearly 1 month now since Uvalde, the families and reporters kept out of a key meeting today, still waiting to learn how their children were inside that school for 77 minutes before they moved in to take down the gunman. The fast-moving wildfire burning across thousands of acres here in the Northeast in a New Jersey state forest. Also tonight, the largest freshwater fish ever caught. You have to see this tonight. And marking Juneteenth, the images from the weekend all over this country and on this national holiday.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and it's great to start another week with all of you at home. We have a lot to get to tonight, and we begin tonight with the remarkable scene playing out here in New York City this afternoon and the bystanders who then rushed in to help. A New York City taxi losing control, jumping a curb onto the sidewalk with tourists, several in critical condition, and those bystanders, of course, who jumped in to lift the car off of those who were trapped. Two women were pinned against a wall, more than a dozen witnesses helping to lift the cab to free them. Police, of course, now studying these images, too. Tonight, police say the taxi driver was among those rushed to the hospital. It's believed the driver hit a cyclist first, then the sidewalk with shoppers and tourists. We've just learned some of the injured were tourists from Columbus, Ohio, in fact. Tonight, New York City Mayor Eric Adams visiting the scene and thanking New Yorkers for jumping in to help. ABC's Stephanie Ramos leading us off from the scene right here in New York.
This was the moment New Yorkers jumped into action. Police examining this video. People nearby joining forces to save the lives of two women pinned against a building by that taxi. It happened just after 1 p.m. on a busy Manhattan street.
Car into the building with multiple injuries.
The taxi striking a cyclist, then veering onto the sidewalk, picking up speed and hitting the two women, pinning them up against the wall.
As this occurs, a remarkable scene took place. About 15 to 20 New Yorkers attempted to pick this cab off these women.
In the video obtained by WABC, you can see the people nearby gathering around the car, moving as a team to free those women. Garrett Orpin watching it all unfold.
It was shocking and, you know, traumatizing. Quickly, you're just kind of shaking and reacting, and we were getting iced and taking, like, aprons out. We got a belt up with somebody to provide a tourniquet.
Six people were taken to the hospital, including the driver of that cab.
And as you can see, David, police are still here at the scene. They say this crash appears to have been an accident. Now, the New York City mayor just a few moments ago saying that out of the six victims, three of the victims are in serious condition. He also said that some of the victims were tourists from Columbus, Ohio. He says he is working to reach out to their mayor. David.
All right, Stephanie Ramos tonight here in New York. Thank you. We turn next tonight to the travel nightmare playing out for several days in this country over this Father's Day holiday weekend. In fact, Friday was the busiest day at the airports all year. Thousands of flights were canceled. Was it weather or are there not enough pilots to fly these planes? More than 5,000 flights were canceled since Thursday. Long lines. This is Salt Lake City right here. To Atlanta, a child sleeping on the floor at Hartsfield-Jackson Airport. The airlines often pointing to weather, but are they prepared for the crush of passengers who bought tickets believing there'd be enough pilots and crew to take them on their flight? Here's our aviation correspondent, Gio Benitez, tonight.
Tonight, the summer travel season off to a messy start. More than 5,000 flights canceled since Thursday, leaving hundreds of thousands of travelers frustrated. Children and newlyweds sleeping on the floor at Atlanta's airport.
When we hit the Atlanta airport, it became 100% chaos.
Disabled veteran Joe Reese was stranded overnight in Atlanta after his Caribbean honeymoon, finally making it home 36 hours later.
They're supposed to have a way to be able to make sure that people like you and I have a way to get from one destination to the next.
Despite all this, airfares still skyrocketing, up 47% since January. But experts say the problems won't be easy to fix, blaming a perfect storm, including severe weather, grounding flights, and ongoing pandemic staffing issues.
It takes time to recruit, hire, and train people to work at airports. The summer of 2022 is going to be travel hell.
And it's not just the airlines. United CEO Scott Kirby today saying staffing shortages at some of the FAA's air traffic control towers are impacting air travel.
They're doing everything they can, but like many in the economy, have staffing issues.
The FAA tonight acknowledging staffing issues at a few facilities due to COVID, but saying there is not a nationwide shortage. The major U.S. airlines now cutting flights in July and August, hoping the situation gets better.
Airlines have reduced their planned summer flights in order to build up a buffer of pilots, flight attendants, and aircraft. But there's only so much they can be expected to cut back if they still want to be able to serve people.
Yeah, what a mess this has been. Gio with us tonight. And Gio, give us the bottom line here. These airlines and air traffic control towers, do they have enough employees to handle all this?
So, David, the airlines lost thousands of pilots during the pandemic, and it takes years to train new ones. The same for the air traffic control towers. So this really could go into next year. David.
Gio Benitez tonight. Gio, thank you. And next year this evening, millions are now bracing for the second heat wave now moving in from Texas right up to Minnesota into the Midwest as it moves east. Temperatures topping 100 degrees. Some places warning tonight to watch for highways buckling. Chief Meteorologist Ginger Zee is live in Lakewood, Colorado tonight, tracking it all again this week. Ginger?
David, Minneapolis-St. Paul made it to 101 degrees. Not only their hottest of the year, not only breaking a record, but the fourth earliest they've ever done that, at least this hot. It's been nearly a decade since they've been 101 plus, but they're not alone. Those excessive heat warnings and those heat advisories stretch all the way from Marquette, Michigan, to the Upper Peninsula to Kansas City, and in part are fueling severe storms from western Nebraska all the way up to Fargo. So you're going to see damaging wind there tonight, some hail too, but this heat is not going to stop. It's going to move to the east, and Chicago could feel hotter than 101 tomorrow, 97 for Detroit. It goes all the way down to the Gulf Coast, Texas still involved, but look where it slides east. Atlanta should have an uncomfortable midweek and beyond. They'll break this heat by the weekend, but it's going to stick for Texas and the Gulf Coast, David.
Yeah, first week of summer and already our second heat wave very early this year. Ginger Zee, thank you again tonight. Next year this evening, that major new milestone in the COVID battle in this country, the youngest of children are now eligible for COVID vaccination. Parents of children under 5 and as young as 6 months old have been waiting now for so long. Tonight, some of the 18 million in this group already getting their shots. Both Pfizer and Moderna vaccines now available, requiring several doses over a number of weeks. Here tonight, ABC's Eva Pilgrim.
Tonight, the long wait to vaccinate the youngest Americans is over. The first shots are now going into the arms of children under 5.
They're the last group to have the vaccine available to them. It did take a bit of time. You're saying that you feel like that was a good thing.
I think it's a good thing because it helps reassure us that they took the time and the care to make sure that they got it right.
Families now have two options for children as young as 6 months old. Pfizer, a course of 3 shots, each 1/10 of the adult dose stretched out over 11 weeks, or Moderna, 2 shots, a quarter of the adult dose, 1 month apart. While children are less likely to get severely ill from COVID, health officials point out that there have been tens of thousands of kids hospitalized during this pandemic.
We do want to prevent infection, so it helps there. A certain proportion of kids end up getting very sick, even kids without comorbidities, and the vaccines are terrific at keeping kids out of the hospital. So it helps some with infection, but it helps a lot with preventing serious illness.
Caroline Gable Reel enrolled her 2-year-old son, Hugh, in the Pfizer trial.
My husband recently tested positive, and we tested as a family. And during that whole time, he stayed healthy, and we're very thankful that he had had those three shots, because I do think it played a part in protecting him.
Reaching the 18 million kids in this age group could be a challenge. Many parents are hesitant, including some who are vaccinated themselves.
We are pro-vaccine. We're pretty conflicted right now at the moment to see if we're going to get him vaccinated. We're going to get some research first.
A survey done before the green light from the CDC showed just 18% of parents of kids under 5 intend to vaccinate their children right away.
Eva Pilgrim back with us tonight. And Eva, health officials this evening are telling parents not to wait to get their children vaccinated.
That's right, David. Dr. Jha says it takes a while to build immunity. So if you want your child fully protected for the fall, it's a good idea to go ahead and get them vaccinated soon. As for those older adults who've been contemplating whether or not to get those second boosters, the CDC previously said that if you're only going to get one vaccine in the coming months, that they could wait until those next generation vaccines come out in the fall. David, the CDC has since taken that information off their website.
And we'll push them to clarify in these coming weeks whether to wait for a potential wave in the fall or get the booster now. Eva, thank you again tonight. We turn now to the war in Ukraine, into a key eastern city now on the brink of falling to the Russians. The Ukrainians managing to hold on to a chemical plant there, but that's all they have left. The U.S. supplying howitzers. ABC News, the first U.S. network to see them up close. You can see our James Longman right there. Tonight, what Russia is now saying about those two American veterans captured in Ukraine. James Longman, Inside Ukraine again tonight.
Tonight, Ukrainian officials say Russian forces have taken control of all but a single chemical plant in the key city of Severodonetsk. As the battle rages for eastern Ukraine. And it's U.S. firepower that's keeping them in the fight here in the Donbass.
The power of that gun is just unreal. It sucks the air out of you as it goes out. Now, this is an active combat zone. They are finding Russian targets.
Within minutes, we're moving.
In this artillery war, once you fire, you've got to move. And the beauty of this particular gun is that it's lighter than anything that the Ukrainians have got. So it can be moved out of position before the Russians reply.
These are the M777 howitzers supplied by the United States, now deployed in Ukraine's east. They fire further, are more accurate, and are giving Ukraine a fighting chance. This commander was trained by U.S. forces in Germany. You can fire 12 to 20 times a day, he explains, and the enemy can't understand how we work so rapidly and open fire from areas that aren't suitable for artillery. The U.S. has supplied Ukraine with more than 100 of these howitzers and more than 250,000 shells.
They're putting the family names of Ukrainian soldiers that have been killed in this war right on these shells to be fired back at Russia.
With this artillery war pounding around them, some Donbass locals are staying, like Vladimir, tending to his garden.
We were in Bucha, and in Bucha they use the gardens to bury people. Are you not worried about what's going to happen here when the Russians come? And that is the sound of the war around us now.
Who's going to stay here then? Vladimir says. I'll get a stick or a spade and defend my home. Meanwhile, the Kremlin spokesman tonight calling the two American veterans captured by Russia in Ukraine soldiers of fortune, not protected by the Geneva Conventions.
They were involved in firing and shelling our military personnel. They were endangering their life, and they should be responsible. They should be held responsible.
Given that answer, there is a lot of concern tonight about those captured Americans. James Longman with us from Dnipro in eastern Ukraine again tonight. And James, these U.S. howitzers proving a valuable weapon for the Ukrainians in this fight.
Yeah, that's right, David. It seems to us the Ukrainians are using their older artillery to draw the Russians out. And then as soon as they had a location, then they used the howitzers. So some success with artillery. But it does seem that Ukraine has had some issues on manpower. They say they're losing as many as 200 men a day. David.
James Longman in Dnipro for us tonight. James, thank you. Back here at home now, and it's been nearly a month now since the mass shooting in Uvalde, Texas, and families of the 19 students and two teachers who were killed are still waiting for answers. In fact, they, along with reporters, were kept out of a key meeting held today. The Texas legislature will hold a public hearing tomorrow, but many family members aren't waiting to speak out, demanding answers on the 77 minutes it took to try to take down that gunman. ABC's Maria Villarreal from Texas tonight.
Tonight, nearly 4 weeks after the Uvalde school shooting, the families of the victims growing angrier at the lack of answers.
We need people to be held responsible.
Brett Cross, who lost his nephew, Uzziah Garcia, has been pushing for transparency.
I'm not going to let Uzziah's name be forgotten, his face be forgotten, and he's not here to fight for himself, so I am.
A state house committee investigating the deadly shooting holding hearings at City Hall.
The investigative committee on the Robb Elementary shooting will now come to order. Clerk.
But for now, keeping the public out, even kicking the families out of the building today. And so far, no agencies from the Texas Rangers to the FBI or even the school district have released any new information, including whether the door to the classroom was locked or if police even tried to open it during those 77 minutes the children were inside with the gunman. The parents of 10-year-old Lexi Rubio, who made that impassioned plea before Congress.
Lexi received the Good Citizen Award and was also recognized for receiving all A's. At the conclusion of the ceremony, we took photos with her before asking her to pose for a picture with her teacher, Mr. Reyes. That photo, her last photo ever, was taken at approximately 10:54 a.m. To celebrate, we promised to get her ice cream that evening.
Still replaying the last moments of that morning, Kimberly showing us Lexi's bedroom.
This is her bed, her blanket. I give her several options to wear in the morning, and what she didn't wear, she kept on the bed. So it's still there.
Tortured by so many unanswered questions.
Think about how long she was there. She was scared. She was in pain. It just worries me. We have to know. And we might not like the answer, but we have to know.
David, we're in Uvalde tonight, but we'll be heading to Austin very soon because the Texas Senate is going to hold their own hearing where the DPS director is expected to testify in public. This is the first time that he has spoken out, and really anyone has spoken out about this investigation in nearly 4 weeks. David?
Yeah, so many questions still unanswered. And Maria, you stay on it as always, and we appreciate it. When we come back here tonight, will there be a gas tax holiday in this country? With President Biden is now considering the wildfire at a state forest here in the Northeast burning tonight and the largest freshwater fish ever caught.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, tonight, will there be a gas tax holiday? President Biden is nearing a decision on whether to pause the national gas tax. He says he's hoping to decide on a gas tax holiday by the end of this week. The move would save drivers more than 18 cents per gallon. It would require congressional support. AAA today reporting the national average for gas is now just below $5 a gallon. That's the first weekly drop since April. And a very large wildfire is burning across thousands of acres in Burlington County, New Jersey tonight. The fire destroying more than 11,000 acres. This is Wharton State Forest. Nearby campgrounds have been evacuated tonight. Several hiking and mountain biking trails have been closed. Authorities are trying to determine how the fire started, but ruling out, quote, natural causes. To the index of other news tonight and this evening, the International Swimming Federation has banned almost all transgender women from competing in women's events. The new rule now in effect blocking transgender swimmers from major competitions, including the Olympics. It requires athletes to medically transition before the age of 12, before the early stages of puberty. The new rule comes after Leah Thomas became the first transgender woman to win an NCAA swimming championship. Tonight, Yellowstone National Park is rushing to reopen as soon as possible. We reported here on the record flooding causing extensive damage, including washing away major roads. Parts of the park expected to reopen to visitors on Wednesday. Park officials hoping to reopen about 80% of Yellowstone within the next 2 weeks. And you could call it the catch of the day, a fisherman in Cambodia hooking the largest freshwater fish ever caught, a giant freshwater stingray, 661 pounds, about 13 feet in length. It was measured, weighed, and tagged, and then released back into the river. Finally tonight here, the images on this national holiday, set to mark and honor Juneteenth, the end of slavery in the United States. Americans gathering today and over the weekend commemorating Juneteenth. In Galveston, Texas, the church service at Reedy Chapel. Galveston, of course, the birthplace of Juneteenth, where Union troops arrived to tell slaves they were free 2.5 years after Abraham Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation. That's how long it took for them to hear. Today, a parade in Knoxville, Tennessee, Vivian Shipe with a wave. In Louisville, Kentucky, Cameron Price and his sister Emery hula hooping there at the Youth Jamboree. And in Atlanta, Bridget New, wearing earrings with the image of her grandmother she carries with her to this day, to that parade. Thank you for watching here on a Monday night. I'm David Muir. I hope to see you right back here tomorrow. Good night.